This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen along with you. Well, it's long been a maxim in pediatrics that children are not simply small adults. And those children who require dialysis need specialized care developed just for them. Dr. Scott Sherman, Associate Professor of Pediatrics and Director of Nephrology at Upstate Medical University, knows this better than anyone. And he's here with us with some great news for Central New York families. Welcome, Dr. Sherman.
Welcome. Thank you.
So you've got some great news for us. What is it?
Well, our children who require dialysis will soon be moving into a new center within University Hospital, specifically designed for them, their needs, and the needs of their families.
Well, that is really great. Where have they been to date?
For the last 30 or more years here in Syracuse, children who've needed dialysis have received it at a center approximately a mile from the hospital, the same center that does dialysis in adult patients. And as you can imagine, the needs, not just medical needs, but also really the psychosocial
and
needs
emotional
needs of the children and their families definitely different between children and adults.
Help us understand when we talk about children who need dialysis,
mm-hmm.
who are these children? What type of disease entities do they suffer from? Tell us more about that.
Children who suffer renal failure that ultimately requires they need dialysis come under one of two broad categories. The majority, about two-thirds of them, are born with abnormal kidneys. So their kidneys during development did not form properly. That can be in conjunction with problems related to their bladder or their urinary tract.
Is that often genetically determined, or is it just happenstance?
Yes, it's rarely a genetic disorder. Occasionally, but rarely. Usually it is a random event.
Doesn't necessarily run in families.
Correct. So, like any family with a newborn baby, they have expectations for their baby, and those change when they find out that their baby has a significant problem with their kidneys, one that at that time or ultimately may require a pretty dramatic intervention, which is what dialysis in a small child is.
And eventually, does that always mean that they will need a kidney transplant at some point?
The dialysis for children is always a bridge to transplantation. So we use dialysis to keep them healthy until they ultimately can receive a kidney transplant.
And so you were starting to say that there was another set of children that would also come under
this
umbrella.
Yes, so the other roughly third are children that are born with normal kidneys but develop some type of disease that in essence attacks and eventually destroys their kidneys and their kidney function.
And does that happen as a result of a virus? I mean, what kinds of diseases?
Most of those could be lumped under the umbrella of kind of autoimmune diseases. People are familiar with lupus. And some of our patients who require dialysis have lupus that has attacked their kidneys. Some have other diseases in which the body, in essence, attacks the kidneys and eventually destroys the filters of the kidneys.
So how frequently does a child, if for whatever reason they have a malfunction in their kidneys, how frequently do they require dialysis?
There are two types of dialysis. The one most people are vaguely familiar with is hemodialysis, in which the blood is withdrawn from the body and put through an artificial filter, and then the clean blood is returned to the patient. And that is done three times a week in a dialysis center, usually for 4 or so hours per treatment.
Wow.
For our patients, that is a particular burden because most of them come from a significant distance. So of all the patients we have currently on hemodialysis, they are traveling between 1 and 2 hours each way to receive their dialysis.
So how will the new center be different?
The new center will provide the same nuts and bolts treatments that they've been receiving, but in a setting that is completely different. Currently, our patients are treated next to adult patients. These are nice people. Everybody who works with them are nice people, but it's a scary setting. It's a large room with people that are getting sick, and it's not a warm and inviting environment. Our new center will have bays that are specifically designed for children to distract them from the treatment itself in many cases, that will be able to accommodate a family member that can help support them and help support us support the child during the treatment. The treatments themselves sometimes cause discomfort. They certainly can cause significant anxiety. And so the setting itself, plus the addition of professionals like child life specialists and their immediate availability, will be a huge upgrade for our families.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with Dr. Scott Sherman, Upstate pediatric nephrologist, and we're talking about the new pediatric dialysis center at Upstate. So what other benefits or factors will happen by relocating? In other words, will they be closer to their physicians in terms of people checking in on them, that kind of thing?
Yeah, not just their physicians, but their nurse who serves really as a case manager. The nurses and the other support staff in dialysis almost become an extension of the families. I mean, the intensity of the therapy mandates that.
And the fact that they're doing it as frequently as they are. I mean, that if it's truly that frequent, you really do become kind of an environment unto yourself. I mean,
correct.
A world unto yourself.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I mean, it's almost their own community.
Yeah.
And so having them here will allow immediate access if they have a medical problem. Currently, if a patient has a medical problem during the procedure, I or one of my colleagues is not immediately available, but we will be now. But not just physician oversight, but our nurse manager. There's always nurses available to take care of the patients now, but the nurse manager and the social worker, the dietitian, that are all part of the team for these patients, will be immediately available.
So they'll
all
be co-located.
Correct.
In the same environment. So it really does become almost a community.
Mm-hmm.
and a multidisciplinary team.
Yes, it's a team that really helps facilitate the care of the patient.
And how will some of this relocation and new services offered help in terms of parent interaction? I mean, will there be a training component? What other things will you be offering?
Yes. So the second type of dialysis, what we call peritoneal dialysis, involves significant training. It's ideal for patients, particularly that to maximize their ability to go to school, because it's done at home. Some of our patients cannot have that, and they're done.
They need to come to the center.
But that involves training, which will occur in our center with our nurses, trained in taking care of not just dialysis patients, but children as well.
So the parents are trained to do the dialysis at home.
Correct.
And therefore they don't have to travel this long distance, and the kids can go to school and have an otherwise somewhat relatively normal schedule.
Correct. Yeah, they come to see us generally after they've become comfortable with the treatments and proficient with the treatments. They come and see us once a month. So that we can provide necessary adjustments and oversight for their therapy.
So where are you going to actually be located?
So the hemodialysis will be done on the 5th floor of University Hospital.
Is that part of the Golisano Center, or is it separate?
It's a separate. Mm-hmm. And it's down the hall.
Mm-hmm. So near.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So the patients will have their own separate pediatric waiting area, and then their own separate really environment. They call them bays for the dialysis. The peritoneal dialysis training will occur in our offices, which are across the street from the children's hospital.
So they do, in that sense, everything will be a lot better coordinated with your...
Oh, yeah.
Under your oversight, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, we have oversight now, but this will really raise it to a different level, really get it to the level that is become the standard of care for pediatrics throughout North America.
How, on average, how long are kids, you know, required or you know, what's the average length of mm-hmm. time they need to be undergoing dialysis before they might...
get a transplant.
Yes, especially if they're born with a problem.
Mm-hmm. So once they're on dialysis, the average time before a transplant is roughly a year. Generally, we stabilize the patient's medical condition, and then we aggressively try and search for a donor for transplantation. And that time frame usually ends up being around a year.
Do the donor's kidneys have to be a child's kidneys?
Great question. Yeah. They are almost always adults, the donors. If you put a kidney from a child into a child, the blood vessels in each are very small, and it increases the risk of complications, including clotting mm-hmm. and rejection. So if a family member is available, an adult family member.
A good match.
That helps facilitate the process. If such a person is not available, then the patients are placed on what's called the deceased donor transplant list. And there are certain advantages to children to try and shorten their waiting time.
They're put a little bit
ahead of the line. Mm-hmm. Not at the absolute top, front of the line, but they get a little bit of a head start.
So are you generally finding that a year is a reasonable mm-hmm. waiting time? In terms of the expectation of these parents, that it's usually within a year?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And then once that happens, they're free of dialysis at that point?
Correct. So the transplantation, the technology of transplantation has improved dramatically over the last 10, 20 years. And so these patients are free of dialysis. They have to take medications, but they're free of dialysis.
Well, it sounds, just very briefly, when will the new center open?
We're looking at roughly April or May of next year.
Sounds
the construction
great.
Has already started.
Sounds great. Well, my guest has been Dr. Scott Sherman, Associate Professor of Pediatrics and the Director of Nephrology at Upstate Medical University. Thanks so much for coming in and sharing this with us.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.